Brian.
Yes.
As the creator of a long-running webcomic, am I going to be disappointed with the end of Welcome to Hereafter?
Probably.
Or are you going to nail it?
Don't think about
it. I feel like long-running endings to like long-running series always end well. So based on that, you're going to love it.
Cool. That's all. I just want to know that.
And if you don't love it, you can slap me in an episode of Zero-Issues Comic Podcast.
Right now.
Ow!
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero-Issues Comic Podcast! Zero-Issues Comic Podcast!
Excelsior! Put him on the spot. And
I've been totally obsessed with endings lately.
Endings
are fucking hard, and people screw them up all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating to me how people, they just fall at the finish line in really weird ways.
Yeah, I just read the last issue of Paper Girls.
Oh, how was it?
Last issue?
Yeah. Last issue.
Oh, it's over. I haven't read it at all.
Yeah,
it's a great series.
It did not stick the landing.
Oh, was that? I got the first trade.
Really?
And I do want to go back and read all 30 issues together, and maybe the ending will work better. Exactly. But their last issue sort of seemed to come out of nowhere without resolving. Mm-hmm. So.
Are we in the show?
I think we're in the show somewhere, but we need to jump into a warm-up.
Yeah, yeah. We should totally do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Warm-up.
Welcome to the warm-up.
You look like you've got something to say.
We have a super special warm-up today.
Yay!
We get to put the two of you through a quiz.
Wait, should we talk about how we got here after our long journey?
Oh,
after
yes.
After we left and then...
It's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a week. And a lot has happened since then.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Perhaps we should reintroduce our guests.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful idea.
We have Dr. Judith Leggett.
Emphatically.
And Dr. Monica Bagel.
Bagel. Damn, it's Lego Girl.
If you haven't heard the previous episode, please go back later, now, whenever, put this on pause. I don't know. However you want to do it. Both of them are university professors at our local Lakehead University, specializing in comics.
Currently
specializing.
A lot of specialties.
We have a lot of specialties. Yes.
Racking them up.
So you've both read Mouse.
Yes. Well, I feel like every university professor.
Somewhere.
We did an episode where it was like, make that list of all those comics that as creators and aficionados of comics that we should read and the ones that we haven't. And like, have you read Mouse? Have you not?
I'll do it this afternoon.
Now I'm totally going to do what I did last time and throw out greatest comic ever.
Like, ever?
Yeah, like, who's it has to be like the one that you're saying. I might go V for Vendetta, actually. I'm not a huge fan of Watchmen.
Oh, you're talking series.
Graphic novel series, complete.
Really? I had trouble with V
for Vendetta. I love V for Vendetta. Totally love it. But definitely, I'm a fan of that one. How about you? No. Moving on.
Oh, my goodness.
No, wait a second. We're asking you questions.
No. She turned it around.
I
don't know about best. If I had to pick a favorite series, probably Usagi Yojimbo. Is my all-time favorite.
I do not know that one.
It's a long-running, kind of loosely based on an actual like Ronin in like feudal Japan, and it's done with like anthropomorphic animals, and it's a rabbit named Usagi Yojimbo.
What the hell? I'm telling you,
it's a long-running black and white comic.
Very, very long-running.
It's just very good. It's just consistently been a very good comic for 30 plus years. I'm just like, and I just love it. That's all there is to it. I don't know if it's the best, but it's my favorite, probably.
Single series story arc, probably Bone.
I was going to say Bone.
You know what I mean? I dug it, but individual issue, the Classics Illustrated version of Moby Dick by Bill Sienkiewicz. It is the single most beautiful comic I've ever seen in my life.
He's not a good artist, though.
Oh,
wow.
We're going to get into this.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was tense when you had that face off weeks ago about this, and I was sitting there in the middle, and here I am again!
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm totally willing going to admit that I may possibly be wrong on that one.
This is a fight. We are fighting.
Kyle?
Now I really want to read that, though.
I'll find it.
Yeah, I totally will. Pass. I had one in mind.
Did I call a friend?
I had one in mind, so I was thinking about Bone, but I can't also
you can say Bone.
You can say Bone, too.
I'm Peters.
I'm not going to say Bone.
Sorry, Brooklyn like, Nine-Nine again.
Yeah.
Bone!
As you scan what I got. Yeah. Which one of these do I like?
Yeah. I think probably in terms of graphic novel, maybe not comic series, but definitely graphic novel, it's a book called Paul Moves Out.
Oh, yeah. By
Michel Rablegatti?
Yeah, okay.
That's how you say it?
Maybe. I'm familiar with
him. He's making all of this out.
he's got like a series of semi-autobiographical graphic novels where he's renamed the character Paul, and it's like him growing up in rural Quebec and moving to the city. And
his best friend is Red Ketchup.
Bingo!
Mm. Boom! Watch out, Penguin!
I really, really like the way they're drawn.
The art is done by Kyla Leeds.
I wish I could do this. It's
not. I would love to.
He's got some good stuff.
Cool. What is it called again?
The one that I'm talking about is Paul Moves Out, but there's also, like, Paul has a summer job where he, like, goes and works at a summer camp.
That was in the title, yeah.
Yeah. Paul goes fishing. He goes fishing.
That's amazing.
Roland Song, where his father-in-law dies slowly. That one's less happy, but it's still interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. You can check them out at your local library. Even.
What are your answers?
Yeah.
I'm going to go weirdly academic, and Michael Yagoulinis's Red, he's a West Coast Indigenous comics creator, artist, who the book works as a comic, but you can also rip it apart and make it into an entire mural.
What?
Yeah. What?
That's amazing.
Totally and that's cool. Incredible.
Yeah. Totally it's cool. Beautiful. It's a retelling of an indigenous, one of his family's indigenous stories.
Sorry, what is their name again?
It's Michael something Yagoulinis. I can't remember his middle name at the top of my head.
Okay.
That's Red?
Red.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I said V for Vendetta.
Yeah, right.
I didn't love the movie, but I love the book. Yeah. Totally loved it. We can talk about it.
Yeah.
But isn't it boring?
I think you'll find that's intellectual and thoughtful.
It's intellectually
and maybe,
boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
it's also really violent. That helps.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah,
sure. True.
Yep.
But today, we're here to quiz the two of you.
Oh, I have another question. No.
So what we're going to do, some of them are actual questions like, do you know this?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure
the answer is no.
Really badly on that.
There's that. And then some of these are like, we'll pick who had the best answer.
Okay, sounds good.
They're just makes it pretty flexible. Okay. I'll keep score here.
This one.
Who's getting scored? Are we getting scored or you're getting scored?
No, you're the only one answering.
Oh, yeah,
man.
I don't do
well with competitions.
We do this all the time. We switch off. One of us has to.
Can we do collaborative?
We're going to do collaborative. We have to disrupt
this. Well, I mean, this might not work out for the first question. Choose a superpower for the other person to have.
Ooh.
That's a hard one. Talking to animals.
I would love to talk to animals. That's a great superhero. Now I feel bad because I won't think of one that's as good.
All right, Judith is.
Yeah, Judith's totally going to win that one. I'm trying to think of something that would help you at work. Oh, the ability to get all of your students to read all of their texts.
Ooh, that is awesome.
But that's impossible.
So. Yes, it is. That is a superpower.
I can do that.
So Professor X manipulative. In 30 seconds or less, T'Challa, good for Wakanda or bad, and why?
Good for Wakanda. They were stuck in the past. They needed to open themselves up to the world. It was a necessary change.
Yeah, in the comics, I really... in the most recent run of the comics, well, not most recent, the last run of the comics, I really do like that he made it a constitutional monarchy at the end, but... in lots of ways, he's not quite sure what he's doing, and I really don't understand the intergalactic world of Wakanda. I'm trying to make it work, but...
That's about the point where I, like, jumped off of Marvel in its entirety. I was just like, I'm just not going to buy Marvel comics anymore because I'm tired of all these crossovers and things cutting into
things. The intergalactic and the sword.
So I have no concept of that, so did I jump out at the right time?
possibly, though I think Shuri's really good for Wakanda. Shuri's better for Wakanda.
He didn't ask that though, so and I feel
that
like
that is not a question.
Yes.
So I will dock you a point for not.
T'Challa good for Wakanda? Shuri better for Wakanda.
Yeah. The answer is yes. What do you guys think?
Exactly. Fair enough.
Good for Wakanda, bad.
No, no, we don't answer these questions.
Okay, sounds good.
Otherwise, we'll be here for an hour and a half.
Yeah, sounds good.
No.
Okay, so mine is a multiple choice.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, see, go. Like, you guys did a good, like, thoughtful, like, oh.
No,
like,
no, I have plenty of others. Oh,
okay, yeah, there's some dumb ones.
So we're, first off, in recent years, Archie Comics has done a lot of horror stuff with their characters. Which of the following characters has not been turned into a monster in one of these things?
I don't know.
So Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead.
I'm going for Veronica.
Has not been turned into a monster?
Has not been turned into a monster.
I'm going to go Jughead because he's monstrous enough already.
That's how I felt about Veronica.
The real monster is Jughead.
Yeah. I went with the real monster is the 1%.
All right, well, you both were wrong on that one.
Yeah. Tell me it's not Veronica, Betty, because Betty is the worst.
Veronica, there's a comic called Vampironica, where she's a vampire.
That's true.
Jughead, there's a comic called Jughead the Hunger, where he's a werewolf.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And also in Afterlife with Archie, like kicked it off.
Yeah.
He's a zombie.
So Betty's the only one who's not?
Well, I mean, I think you might get the point, because Archie did get turned into the Predator.
Did he get turned into the Predator?
Or a Predator got turned into Archie.
By the Predator.
I mean, yeah.
Was that in the second one?
I think at the end, they basically, like, they might have, like, fused them or something, where, like, Archie has, like, a Predator
they
brain.
They literally just fused them together, and he's, like, sticking
like
Betty,
Veronica, Sharon.
Betty's the one, so I guess no one gets a point.
She's
a werewolf.
She's the real monster.
But not a monster.
She is a monster.
Betty?
Totally a monster. I read an article on Walrus that she's basically a sociopath. She constantly hits on her best friend's boyfriend. It's completely problematic.
It's a little iffy on who's wife.
It's pretty clear that he's dating Veronica.
Not all the time.
Not all the time, yeah.
What is going on in that world?
They need a predator to come in. And
they're all very happy.
And he bangs Miss Grundy.
That's only in the real monster.
I understand. She was wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costume. That's what I took from that.
So she was super hot. I mean,
we're all confused.
I'm not bringing my dream journal here anymore.
The rest of the questions.
I don't know why you take it out of the house. Seems like a
just gonna leave my dream journal on the table while I go away for a while. Nobody look at it.
I brought it just in case I fall asleep.
Yeah,
alphabetically by person I dreamt about. You're gonna have to guess at this one, because nobody knows this except for me. What was Pete Wisdom, who was a character originally created in Excalibur? He's like a British mutant guy. He's around. What was his most recent appearance?
I actually read Excalibur, but it doesn't help me in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to say the Punisher. He has taken a turn towards the Vigilante. All
right. I'm going to go way out there and say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Why not?
Why not?
The actual answer is my dream last night.
What was he doing in your dream?
Don't worry about it.
But I am now.
Well, that's for me to worry about. Every day. Until I die.
So no points.
Still
on the board
Kyle
with one each.
Kyle gets one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
you,
Kyle gets a point.
Hey, thanks.
Give us a hilarious nerd tidbit about the other person. A story, a habit, a reaction. The best story wins.
Judith, we were doing a library talk, and we had to fill in a little questionnaire at the beginning over, like, which character we'd like to be. And so we wrote them up, and then we went to the library, and a woman with complete deadpan who had nothing, you know, was not in on any, it wasn't a playful game at all. She just said, Judith Leggett would like to have the proportionate powers of a squirrel. When introducing her, because Squirrel Girl was who she picked. And I had to wonder,
no mention of Squirrel Girl at all.
No, I think she did mention Squirrel Girl, but she would like to have the proportionate powers of both squirrel and girl. She would also like to know how to do computer science. She believes friendship is important.
Yeah.
I got to watch her husband just shaking his head in the audience. It was quite enjoyable.
It's one of those concepts where, especially like the squirrel powers, I'm just like, having dealing with squirrels on a daily basis, his neighborhood is like, yeah, you'd be unstoppable.
Yes, totally.
You literally would be unstoppable.
Black squirrels are rare.
Are they?
Yes,
I
just
found
out.
Number. They're in the backyard totally all the time. Them. Just
this part of the world has a lot of black squirrels.
Yeah, they've only
I guess we should move on.
No, I was at a Supernatural convention with Monica. And the stars of Supernatural were at this breakfast and were singing the song about the different states and to ask, is there a song about Canada? And everyone said no, except Monica, who chirped up, yes, there's a song.
And I was so excited because across the room, somebody else was screaming, yes, there's a song. And I was so relieved that somebody else knew it. And Judah turned to me and said,
that's your sister. It was her sister. And then they asked her to sing the song. And she stood in it and could not remember it. So it went, British Columbia.
And many more.
It's like the Animaniacs country song, but it lasts like literally 30 seconds.
She stood British Columbia, the Tarzans.
She started at the wrong side from that.
I was supposed to start in Newfoundland, and then I could have sung the entire song. You know how when you start in a place, I went to get my picture taken, and I'm with the dude, and I was like, well, no way. I was like one person in a crowd, and he goes, British Columbia, I was like, I wish I was dead. That's a truly embarrassing story. So back to the black squirrels.
Sure.
You asked the question. You asked
You're like popping out on me.
Yeah, I'm a coward.
Yeah. That is important in this world.
I enjoy the humiliation side of it. That's going to Judith.
So, you know, Gwen Stacy, there have been a couple of different versions of that character, especially in recent years. She had, like, original Gwen Stacy from, like, the 60s and the 70s. First appeared in 65, Death Issue in 1973. You also have, more recently, Spider-Gwen, which is in the Spider-Verse movie and appeared first in November 2014 and is still currently appearing. Of those two, who do you think has made more individual comic appearances during those periods?
So early Gwen Stacy.
So we're talking Gwen Stacy recently, up until her death, and we're talking Spider-Gwen from her creation to now.
I am actually going to say Spider-Gwen. Just because even though it's a shorter period of time, she's had ongoing ones. She showed up in all these Spider-Verse things. She had a crossover with Miles Morales where he had a girlfriend from an alternate universe, which they thought was more funny than having a girlfriend from Canada. So there've been a lot of them, and Marvel just publishes way more comics now. And Gwen Stacy didn't show up in every issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Are we including, like, J. Michael Straczynski? And
no,
like...
we're not.
But that's the same. It's the same Gwen, no?
Even then, honestly, if you're including flashbacks, I gotta say,
it's probably... I haven't finished answering yet, though.
So I get a point deducted.
I agree with Judith.
Hey,
it's clear.
Minus one
answer
for Greg.
Oh, no. Based on, and I'm just including that part when she was alive, 82 issues between December 1965 and June 1973. Spider-Gwen has had 109 comic appearances from November 2014 to not even 5 years.
Oh, wow. You're totally right, though.
And again, it's a good point because there's a lot of crossovers and stuff like that, and she's had pretty consistently a monthly series that entire time.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting to think that, like, which of those characters is more substantial in even that amount of time? It's kind of amazing how quickly that, you know what I mean? Like, that became maybe more the far more definitive version of that character.
Yeah, when we were at Indigenous Comic Con in November, we saw tons of girls actually cosplaying as Gwen Stacy.
Great costume.
As Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is also why Judith is in charge of all the details of the book. A number of times I'm like, are we in Fresh Start or are we still in the Bronze Age? Like, I don't know. I can't keep track of any of these things.
Fairness, they all claim to be a fresh start.
Yes. The important part is I got a point deducted.
You did. You did.
How much does the Venom symbiote weigh?
Ooh.
The answer when we return.
If I can only get unstuck, I'll be swinging at one of my most fearsome foes next week.
I think it weighs nothing because it turns into like invisible goo, and then it can like compress itself. So it must have like no weight. It exists in some kind of molecular space that is not ours.
You're saying it's dark matter.
I was saying it was dark matter.
You are an English professor, not a science professor, correct?
I'm very good. I was totally saying it's dark matter, and so therefore it weighs less than nothing.
I feel like it should be moving back and forth because sometimes it's a lot bigger than smaller, but I feel like you're going for an exact number.
I don't know.
What is the number? 42, 47?
Oh, 42.
So it's 42.
That's okay. 42 what? Pounds?
Kilos.
Oh, damn. That's a heavy ass costume.
42 stone. Let's do the British.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
42 stone.
I lost a stone.
Who's stone? Venom stone.
With Monica's answer, though.
Thanks for the dark matter boost there.
Yeah, you're all quite posh, Uncle.
Yes. So posh. Who makes bigger poops, the Blob or the Incredible Hulk?
Oh.
And bonus points for naming it.
Naming the poop?
You know, like a Lincoln Log or something like that.
I'm going to say the Hulk, and I would call it Hulkling.
Oh, no. My God.
I also want to say the Hulk, and I'm trying to...
Well, think about Hulkling is that it changes
Hulk matter?
Shape.
That's true.
Gamma matter.
Ooh, I like it, but I'm gonna have to go with Hulk on that one.
Yeah,
that's pretty close one.
But it's definitely the Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
the Blob. The Blob is retaining a lot.
yeah, the Blob just keeps growing. Yeah, I don't think the Blob actually excretes.
He hasn't shed it.
Did you know that wombats have cube poop? They poop cubes.
That's amazing.
I know. It's adorable.
Call a cube.
What? I like knowing that. Thank you.
I know. That's free information to everybody else.
Ah, great.
So which of the following standard boy band archetypes applies to us three podcast boys?
Awesome.
A, the bad boy. B, the goofball. Or C, the shy guy.
Where's D, the loose cannon?
There's only three of us. I feel that falls firmly under bad boy.
Yeah, that's true.
The one that becomes an alcoholic and gets fired.
I don't think those are the constituent elements of a boy band.
There is a debate about this, but I feel like these ones are pretty standard.
No, you gotta have the pretty one.
You have the bad boy.
The bad boy, the pretty one.
We're all very sensitive, so I'm not throwing the pretty one.
The one who's gonna leave the band and have a successful solo career.
Also, very sensitive not putting that in there.
I would choose
this. There's sort of like a.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my.
Point for Monica!
Listen, I'm gonna get outvoted.
Okay. Let's answer this thing.
Yeah. This is always like kind of a goofy.
Oh, sure, you pointed at me.
It's also kind of like a goofy, weird one. Like you're just a weird one. Like, you're just. Well, odd. Why are you here?
There's the one
you're
most
the Wahlberg.
Likely to,
yeah, the one.
Yeah. That one would be hurtful to answer.
They're all hurtful to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're all a combination of all of them.
Yeah, it's like you just can't choose. You're just magically all boy band.
Now she's the captain.
Okay. Well, for that cop out, -1, -1.
All right.
I got one more, but I don't know how to get the answer to it until the end of the episode.
Oh, we could hold on.
Because the question, well, I'll ask the question now. We'll find out at the end of the episode. How's that sound?
Oh, that's nice.
It sounds like plans, Dan.
Nope. What is the circumference of Merc's head in centimeters?
Well, he's the hot member of the band.
If by hot you mean large head, bingo.
You know what? I'm quitting. I have no good authority. I'm going to be fine.
This is like, I could have picked anyone's head.
Yeah.
I could have picked anyone's head.
That's true.
But you're the leader, so I pick your head.
When did
Are
I become
the
leader?
Leader?
I think it's a Leonardo.
Yeah.
Totally into it.
Well, yeah, how many centimeters around?
How big is my head?
is
so
humiliating.
You can just take a ruler and just run it around my head.
Yeah, you can just take a piece of string and lay it over.
I'm going to say it is three standard spans.
40 stone.
Yes. He said in centimeters.
I only work in spans.
What is span?
What measurement are we using here?
Monica doesn't do math.
I do not do math.
It's like measuring things in football fields, like a discovery check.
It's definitely smaller than a football field.
0.08 of a football field, but at least three spans.
Write that down so you can figure it out later.
Of a football field.
What are you going to guess, dude? You're familiar with these centimeters.
You're familiar with measuring.
Okay. I'm trying to do math in my head, which isn't working.
Everybody's like, what is that head over
there? It's a mighty head. What do you think R is here for the radius?
R is...
According to Pythagoras,
the circumference, C equals pi r squared.
Let's say it's 3.14.
My head is pi. Yeah.
Just throw out a number there, Judith.
40, no, that's not enough. 60 centimeters.
You know what? For answering in centimeters, you get the point.
So unfair.
It was very simple instructions.
I think I just want to now see if I can get three spans around If I can.
Is that what you're meant? You just kept saying, how many spans?
I was,
three spans.
I was like span of one. Right. In front of the microphone, putting my hands in span form. So I think it's very clear to our listening audience
it's
exactly what I was
podcast.
Talking
about.
The,
we haven't pivoted to video. We're not going to do it now.
For the final.
You're the hot member of the boy band.
So you said he was.
Oh, it's so confusing. I can't tell which one
it's you. We're all the same.
We're all bald white guys. We all look the same. Final question, and this is like a multiple thing.
For all the hands
Not multiple
fans.
Choice, but multiple answers, so you'll get multiple points. Who created these characters?
Ooh. The answer's always Stan Lee, isn't it? Because he steals them all.
I'll start.
Might be Bob Kane.
And there's also, if there are ones that are like joint, specially joint creator.
I'm going to be really bad at this.
Black Panther.
It's
the first person who's going to answer.
Yeah. It's Stan Lee and...
Was it Jack Kirby?
Is it Kirby?
It was in Fantastic Four, right?
It was in Fantastic Four.
Are you sure it's Stan Lee?
Maybe it's not Stan Lee by that point.
Oh, man. Sucks! I don't like this game. Let's say Stan Lee.
It is Stan Lee and Kirby.
Kirby, yeah. That's an easy one.
What is your powers activate?
Form of Hellboy.
Oh, Ron Perlman. Stick with
it. He just woke
that.
Up one night.
I totally can't remember. I'm totally blanking on the name.
I can't remember names ever.
I thought you were the detail person.
No, I'm the number person. I can't remember names or faces.
No letters.
Which is bad in an English professor's.
Can't remember. This is going to be like every nerd on the internet is going to say, they don't have the right to write a book on comics.
This is when they ask me names, too.
Oh, dude? Okay, yeah, good. Good.
I can barely remember
their
names.
They can't get me off the show.
I'm just going to say, we'll just say Stanley for him. Okay, go ahead.
I know it's
Mike Mignola.
No,
yeah.
Says here Stanley.
Mignola.
There it is.
There we go.
Mignola.
His name is Mignola.
Captain America.
That's Kirby. Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Well, boom.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom.
You're damn right.
He's why Canada went to war.
Just Jack Kirby just stomped up to Canada. Get in there.
Jeez,
come on.
Sons of bitches. Kill those Nazis. We'll be there in a bit.
Yeah.
Not a historian.
You go ahead. We'll meet you there. Wonder Woman.
Oh, the guy who was totally into bondage.
This has like kind of multiple answers.
Yeah.
I'll take whatever.
I totally don't remember his name. I'm gonna go Liv
Carter. I'm gonna blame the Gail Simone.
Gail Simone. And Stan Lee.
Who was it?
William Marston.
What
up?
Oh yeah.
And
I
also Olivia Byrne and Elizabeth Marston, his wife. So it's like the three of them together, he did it and they helped him do that. But then I actually just figured out H.G. Peter. I had never really heard that name. He's the guy who visually kind of worked it out. So he's always kind of left to the side, strangely.
It's like, what's his name? Bob Kane and is it?
Bill Finger.
Bill Finger. But it's like, that was a travesty.
He now gets credit.
I mean, if you're ever mad at Stan Lee, remember Bob Kane existed.
Yeah, exactly.
Monica won with five handspans.
Yay!
Judith had four. Kyle has one.
Yes.
Bri has minus one.
Oh. Thank you.
And I have zero.
Yay!
Yay!
So who wrote Desire and Domestic Fiction? That's a good one that you probably know from, what was that? The Victorian Critical Theory? You're probably up on that one.
It's right there.
It's on the shelf.
It's on the shelf between Dr. Spector and Conan.
That's why all of my questions were dumb.
You guys were doomed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What the f***?
Okay, so welcome aboard if you're still here. I'm sure you are.
We're still here.
We're having a good time recording here. We're being a little off the cuff. We kind of had a few things that we just kind of wanted to talk about. So we got a couple of topics here. I guess we can kick it off with a question that you'd posed about what do creators owe to the fans? What do you think they do? Do they owe anything?
And do you mean like creators, individual creators, or I think you said earlier like franchise.
Company? Yeah. So, I mean, when you're talking about being a creator taking over something that has a long history, I feel like you have some. Most of us who are fans know way more about probably some of those things than creators who come on, right? We might have a greater history. We have maybe a greater attachment to those characters. We might feel a certain amount of ownership of them.
Yeah.
Do people who come on to things like Star Wars or, you know, Marvel owe anything? Doctor Who? Do they owe anything to the people who've been there since the dawn of time to, you know, honor the legacy? I mean, I guess it's the question of like, I don't think that they owe anything to them in terms of doing what fans want, because fans want many different things.
That was
going to
be my question. What does owing
It doesn't matter. You could like literally just run the checklist of all the things the fans say they want. They're still going to hate it.
Yeah.
So
magic powers and down to earth stories.
Yeah.
Oh, there was the remake The Last Jedi movement, which was going to make a movie that everybody would love.
Oh yeah. Oh.
So do you owe anything to the legacy of it is there such a thing as somebody who's maybe taking on one of these things? I know people accuse this all the time that they're deconstructing the characters, and in that deconstruction that there's this sort of cultural vandalism that happens, that you're not honoring the legacy of that character.
Do you? Firstly, kind of.
Well, it's just such a weird. Again, we've talked about this before, where it's like characters that have a 75-year legacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is a legacy? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's every 5 years they're completely different, or 10 years, and then every generation they completely topsy-turvy, Ditko's original Spider-Man was an asshole.
Yeah, he certainly
was a little teenage jerk. If you want that legacy, you need a very specific character.
Andrew Garfield.
Exactly.
Well, let's go Captain America being Hydra, which they did in the Secret Empire thing. Is this totally open and okay for creators to do, or are they participating in a vandalism of a character that has a long history and means a lot to a lot of people and should therefore be treated with a certain level of care?
I think it's fine because, one, it's a fictional character. Two, it's a fictional character. I'm really just going to double down on that. And three, it was in service of a larger story, which in the end wasn't very good.
We liked it. I think it's just us.
But did you love it?
I actually did love it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty great.
I mean, I liked, you had the end of, like, real Steve back and just punching the Nazi in the face. I'm like, yeah, good. That's what he does. Great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little confusing in some, like, it was a little, like, muddled about, like, what? Like
how it happened.
It could have been a little, made a clearer point, and maybe, like,
it's a little heavy on the narration.
Yeah.
Anytime you're dealing with cosmic cubes, things get a little confused.
Exactly. But it raises the question of being, like, which one really is the original? It sort of played it, and again, I didn't read it that in-depthly. I sort of, like, skimmed parts and stuff, so I might have just missed it like a dummy.
Yeah.
But, you had, like, they rewrote history, or they just created, like, plucked from another thing, and just based on what I've read of it, apparently, like, Hydra Cap was not, like, the original Captain America, I guess, or at least they tried to, like, retcon it or change it in a way, but the story itself didn't seem to present it that way.
I mean, it was fascinating, and it sort of allowed them, like, his history had been changed to the level that he had become, he'd been Hydra all along.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting parallels between him and the regular Steve that made you realize that Captain America has some fascistic elements all along.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's perhaps what some people didn't like. Yeah. And then dangerously also makes him an accessible figure to the alt-right as this kind of heroic look. He's not that different. He just had to have a slight change in view.
I think the timing of that was sort of just like, I get what you're going for right now, but you got Nazis marching in the streets right now. This ain't great.
Yep.
I get
and
that.
And I mean, it was very much trying to critique those Nazis.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the perfect time?
And that's the hard thing. It's one of the things we grapple with, right? It is both the perfect time and a terrible time, right?
And it's all really going to come. That's the thing, too. It's like, on one hand, it's like, that is a real bold move for that moment. But it's like, if you got to nail it. Otherwise, it could just be perceived in all the wrong ways.
Yes.
But which really, it was. So reaction kudos for taking that risk, I guess. But
the reaction was right off. It's not like people read the entire story and then reacted. It was the initial thing. And it was, again, it's like we talked about in the previous episode with the female Thor or Falcon as Cap. Like, it's comics. They're going to change in 5 years or whatever, and people are going to come back and go to the status quo, and then things will change again, and then it's fine. Just read the story.
Yeah.
And then if you don't like it, read another one. Like,
It's not as if they're going to keep Captain America as being Hydra.
There were people who were upset that he wasn't, right? Because then that sense is that it's like, well, you just dabbled in that and then you erased it. And then that also is politically problematic at the present time. So I guess the question could be like, are you taking a risk that in not fully following through, you either to ruin the character, and if you don't ruin the character, have you then gone in a direction that opens up?
The Captain America's after Secret Empire have been really interesting that way, because you have, first of all, Mark Waid, who had this incredibly nostalgic run, and
especially the Chris Somni art is just
it looks like Norman Rockwell.
Exactly, and
it's so like, what does Cap mean to you is at the end of every letter column, so it became this kind of like this. We talk a lot about marketing in Marvel, and they just seem to just be constantly trying to catch up to things.
But then they pass it right off to Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes. And I've heard that he's dealing with the aftermath of it in really interesting ways.
I haven't
read it.
Yeah.
But that right there is, I feel like, you know, you have something like Secret Empire, which kind of just like blows something up, and like, I'm more interested in like, how do you put that back together? How can you? You know what I mean? Like, how do you deal with the aftermath? So that one, it's interesting where, like, you know, that kind of happened. Everybody's really mad about it, but I will give some credit to that for, like, actually, you know, really not just like, oh, let's just forget about that one and move on here. They're actually dealing with, like, the aftermath of that in, like, a way where it's, like, also the aftermath of how you perceive that character after Marvel did this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, dealing with how do we live in a world where things are really uncomfortable for a variety of reasons.
The people that you like, trust, and love the most might turn out to not be what you thought they were in, like, the worst possible way. So, yeah.
But then we're also dealing, we have to understand, with Marvel and DC characters. The characters that have such an enormous legacy, and the fact that they can't really change. They change, but they don't change. It's not like, and really, they're a fraction of the storytelling medium. Like, you can go to Image and Dark Horse and whatever other company and go, oh, these are brand new characters that go through a crazy arc and can become the bad guy and then actually have consequences afterwards.
You look at Hellboy, there's a beginning, middle, and characters change throughout. And they don't go back to what they were before. Comics in general, like, when we say comics in general, you know, the big two, it is all middle story, so you are going back to this is what the character is.
Yeah.
They can go, you know, go and do that.
You can deviate, but you've got to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stan Lee talks about the illusion of change.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
Yeah, and I guess comics is sort of special in that sense, because I'm like, you know, I know that, you know, something like The Last Jedi, if you hated that representation of Luke, he's dead. right? Yeah. You can't fix it after the fact. So, you know, there's definitely those moments where Fandor comes back as a force.
It is a unique medium in that it's a forever ongoing thing. You're forever having different stories, and you're forever having different creators that have completely different takes on things.
Yeah.
So how do you wrap your head around that?
Like, I guess that's why I have the biggest problem with the comic skates, dude, on that level. Because I'm just like, man, if you understand this medium at all, like, you just have to recognize that these things wrap around and change, and, you know, punches will come back. Like, you God help this? Us all.
Just sometimes Nightcrawler's going to have a stupid goatee.
But then is that the cultural memory of us of right now? Like, we don't think beyond what happened like in 5 years ago, and we did like, oh, what happened right now? I'm angry. Well, the same shit happens over and over and over again, and we don't realize what's going on.
Yeah,
and that's one of the really interesting things about some of the changes coming into the MCU, because Steve handing his shield over to Sam is very different in the MCU because Chris Evans is retiring.
Yeah,
From this, anyway.
Permanence.
And going
with
to the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
He's going to be MODOK.
I would watch that.
Handsome MODOK.
Yeah, he's like, I don't have to work out at all. Yeah.
And then I'd go on the internet and I'm like, they're always changing the way they look.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, the latest West Coast Avengers begins with BRODOK, who's MODOK becoming very
sexy MODOK.
I totally call it now. Rock Chris Evans MODOK. Will be BRODOK.
can I get a clean take of that?
Rock me, sexy MODOK.
I think we got a title.
Yeah.
So fan entitlement, is it a thing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It 100% is. I don't know. I feel like it's a harder question to answer as like a yes or a no as far as like, do you owe fans anything? I feel like the spirit of the character, I think, is important, whether or not that character is the same person, whether or not like what that's like again. I have less of a problem with, say, Sam Wilson. Like, I'm not a problem at all, actually, because I like that run where he was Cap, and it did some great, interesting stuff. Like, Janus Thor, fantastic. Because it still feels like a Captain America book. It still feels like a Thor book. Somebody else could be Superman as long as they are living up to the ideals of Superman. It can be a different take on it, a different perspective on it. That's fine. That's not going to bother me. Man of Steel is going to bother me, even though that's Clark Kent. That's going to bother me because I don't think, in my opinion, we're getting into that, but in my opinion, that's going to bother me because that does not have the spirit of Superman to me.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing.
I think it's one of those things where if you want everything to be, like, vacuum sealed into, like, how it was when you first read it, no. Because you can't, like, you owe it to, like, the character and the legacy in a regard where, like, what that character means is important. But if you're trying to, like, keep it the way it is, like, forget it. You're never going to get anyone new reading it. I mean, like, if a lot of these people had their way, the only people that would be reading comics or following these characters at all would be, like, 40 to 50-year-old men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. And guess what? The comic companies would just close right now because there's no way.
It just stagnates.
Yeah. Exactly. So you have to be able to, it's a tightrope walk because you want to like still be appealing to those people, but it's like I'm sorry, but there's a point where you're going to be dead. Yeah. And they're going to still need people reading comics. It's harsh, but it's true.
Don't have an opinion because you're going to die.
But I mean, like, literally, you know, you look at like, oh, maybe look to the 60s. What if they're like, you know, people in their like 30s or something reading comics in the 60s, maybe like, oh, I like this character. And like, how long ago was that? How old are they now? They might be dead.
I will say, when you read, like, fan history and you read, like, the letter, like, it is hilarious because it'll be, like, the fans in the 50s were really, like, the comics, you know, golden age is over. Like, all these new comics are just bad, derivative trash that will never reach the heights of the old. Like, that happened at the very beginning. I swear people are doing that in 1930. Yeah. And so, I tend not to listen
Superman,
to it.
Superman, he's not as good as...
No, no.
Ultraman.
The Scarlet Pimpernel. Yeah,
that's the beauty of
that. I love the Sherlock Holmes.
He's the original Batman. Right?
He was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, you also have on the internet a group of fans, quote-unquote, who are presenting themselves as
the gatekeepers.
These gatekeepers. Yes, right. Who are also making stuff up.
So there was
one video we both watched and were particularly upset by, dissing Squirrel Girl.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Who, you know, she does have a 30-year history, but she really only became an interesting character with Ryan North.
I
think that's not a controversial opinion, but complaining that Ryan North and especially Erica Henderson's drawings had ruined Squirrel Girl.
It's like, that's what because,
did you see the original Ditko? And I love Ditko.
She haunt my dreams.
It's, oh my god. That first one, with her in Doom, it's a disturbing thing.
We did the dramatic
movement. Weird Harlequin kind of eyes or something.
Yeah. Really and she weird. Had those up until I think the Erica Henderson redrew her.
So
even
weird
when she was
like
Luke
that.
Cage and Jessica Jones's nanny.
Oh yeah, wasn't there like a weird scene where they were saying that like she dated Wolverine and
oh,
like,
she at one point.
No, not good. Gross.
But I think the internet is the big key to this whole thing. That is everybody
so
feels
shut it down.
Exactly. It's the end of us.
Feeling
end
that way about social media. Like, yeah. I will say, like, there is an entire cottage industry. Like when Captain Marvel came out, it's just one outrage after another, and it's something like 10 videos a day.
Oh yeah,
and they're getting hits, and some of those channels even like they started out doing interesting critical work, even if politically I didn't agree with them. Some of them were still doing like, oh my god, that's based in actually like good knowledge of film industry, etc., etc. But that doesn't get hits for them.
They gotta follow the algorithm.
Yep.
Now it's just like
reactionary.
I freeze framed on one frame of like Brie Larson standing on the red carpet and she looked like she was mad, so she's a monster.
Yeah.
And
or
just like let me scream about it for 78 minutes.
You know, Disney not filling theaters and buying tickets and conspiracy theory stuff.
Nonsense.
And it's a whole industry that is just radicalizing large numbers of people. And so that's where a lot of the boycotting is planned. I have no idea what their numbers are or what effect they actually have.
Sort of, it's in a weird way. But you have the letters column. You have cranks writing in. But, you know, that was curated. Like somebody was being like, oh, this is garbage. So it goes in the garbage. This physical letter that someone wrote with my hand. Garbage.
Yeah. Though interestingly, Marvel now tends to have the letters columns in the comics, which they think might be a little more controversial. I think that
maybe.
The ones for kids, because kids like the
see
like
their
to
name
be
print.
Yeah,
because kids like reading.
Yeah, they but they like to. I think Marvel likes to say, "Look, this comic is under attack," so that then people will write in and say,
"Ooh, that leads to our next point."
Say, "Hey, no, I love female Thor. I don't understand these people who are saying this is wrong, or how can you say Miles Morales can't be Spider-Man?"
No, then there is that element too, because I mean, like, even if people are saying like just garbage nonsense, it creates controversy, which creates a corporation can weaponize that, being like, they're saying this horrible stuff. You should better go watch this movie. You better go buy this book. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're wrong. So, you know how to play it.
So I was wondering, because, I mean, we have on the one side a cottage industry that is, you know, inflaming anger and telling people you're getting screwed over. Fans are not represented. We're under attack, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
On the other hand, you have corporations who are like, look, we totally love diversity and we're all about it. And these people are attacking us. You should consume, which is leading to our next point. I mean, all of us were going to consume anyway, so we're probably not the people to ask. But do you ever feel like, do you ever politically consume a comic? Like, buy it because you're like, I want to support that author or that writer from that underrepresented group on that underrepresented topic?
I wouldn't necessarily vote with my dollars, but I would signal boost a book like that more.
We've talked about stuff like that.
We can mention that one book where
I know what you're going to talk about.
Writer was getting like some racist comments and stuff.
And
so we were
racist
just like
death threats. And
yeah,
he was going to San Diego Comic Con and he got death threats.
And then
what was that? By these things?
Border Town.
I didn't read Border Town. I read The One with the Lion.
I was going to say, I really hate to continue this because the writer turned out to be an abusive piece of crap.
Yes. And they had to stop it. It was actually a good comic for the first three issues.
I
like the art.
Yeah.
Ramon Lalabas was the art's great.
His art is amazing. amazing.
You can't go wrong by crediting Stan Lee.
I do love seeing those like Instagram posts. Sorry, sidetrack. Where it's like, there were a lot of them around the time when Stan Lee passed away, but there was like, you know, things of him like sitting somewhere with a pen and paper and all these characters coming out of his head or something. The guy's like, dude didn't draw. What are you talking about?
Dude was showing me a panel in one of the early Thors where it's like some dude in a bathtub. Which one is it?
I think it's Odin in a bathtub.
Odin in a bathtub, and we swear she was
welcome
like,
"Welcome to the royal bathtub."
I think Kirby just draws these things because he knew that Stan Lee would just have to like. I guess I'll write some dialogue.
Jack, what did you give me? Just dialogue.
Awesome.
It's like work around it, Stan Lee, jerk.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
I think I'm mixed on this one, because on the one hand, yeah, I 100% believe in signal boosting, and also sometimes I'm like, as English professors, the first time I sat down to put a syllabus together, I put like all white dudes on it, because that is what I've been taught my whole life, it's what I've read my whole life, and unless you force yourself not to, you won't actually get exposed to other things, and so there is something about like, yes, I am going to read comics by people of color, you know, by different ethnicities, because I will most likely just keep buying Captain America forever if I don't ever branch out in any way, shape, or form. So there's sort of, I force myself to.
I'm at a point where it's, I'm letting go of a lot of the Marvel stuff, and I'm just, like, I've taken most of it off my back, and so I don't get it. There's a handful of things that, okay, I'll try it for a little bit, but then it's like, okay, I'm going to go to number ones that are coming out from Image and Dark Horse and whoever, and just, I don't know who the creators are, I can't tell if these are people of color or minorities or women or whoever. I'm just like, if I pick up your book and I look at it and I'm like, this looks interesting, I'll buy it. That's basically where I go.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And if it turns out I'm like, I like it, and it turns out, oh, you're this person. Okay, that's cool. Like, just make a good book, please.
Yeah, what do you think?
I buy every single comic that I know is by an indigenous creator input, because that's my job, so I need to know the field.
Yeah.
But also, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there probably were three of them.
Exactly.
Now there's a lot.
And then sometimes, like, there is that kind of an element where it's like, one, you want to see that grow, you know what I mean? You want to foster growth in something. Like, for sure, that's a good reason, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'll have that sometimes, like, somebody, I'll pick up an issue or something, just somebody who, like, maybe I see online, or like, they're making the right people angry, so I'm going to buy their comic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've done that, too. And I've also, when Nello Hopkinson started writing a Sandman series last year, Whispering in Shadows, it's really good. But I love her sci-fi stuff. And so it's like, okay, I don't know if she knows anything about comics, but I'm going to see what she does with this, because I like her.
She might Margaret Atwood it, but you know.
She actually seems to have been doing a good job.
Okay, so that's good.
I would say I think that I will purchase politically, if you want to call it that, but I won't review positively something. Just I don't feel I give a soft pass to things if I don't think they're good.
Nice segue.
Yeah, it's a nice soft pass.
And I because you'd mentioned like Comicsgate or whatever, like, you know, I. Just in case anyone's trying to be like, aha, blah, 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 like virtue signalers, it's like, listen, Comicsgate are like buying the worst comics ever made in droves for the exact same reason to stick it to the SJWs,
And it's hard, because I mean, I look at some people and I'm like, I don't want to say you hated Captain Marvel because it had a woman in it, because there's nothing more irritating than honestly disliking something and then being told that you have, you know, ulterior motives.
Yeah.
It's also deeply frustrating when you're like, no, it's just, I actually disliked it. I didn't dislike it because I'm politically liking it. I honestly thought it was good. And I feel like we're getting in a hard place as critics, where you feel like you either have to give things a soft pass, or you're harder on things because you don't want to look like you're giving something. Like, I feel like this is a very toxic environment for producing good art, precisely because it becomes very difficult to review things without feeling that kind of pressure. I don't know what you guys
think. Well, it's like, you're making another like Captain America movie, you're making another Iron Man movie. It's like, that's not coming with like a bunch of like baggage where you have to like feel like it's being, has all that stuff attached to it automatically for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, even in that, like, in Captain Marvel, the movie, for some, like, that didn't really even factor in. It was just kind of like, you know, it felt like a solid, like, introduction movie, much like all the other ones that sort of launched in phase one and stuff like that. It fit right in with them. I'm like, okay, cool. That was fun.
I think that I would like to see this. We're fine with politics in popular culture. It's always been there. Yeah. It's always going to be there.
Literally always.
But I think that just this ramped up massive culture wars thing is I think it's detrimental to making good art. I think it gets in the way of making good art.
Or it's actually becomes very good for making good art. Because it actually kicks a lot of artists into gear. Because really, art is a reflection. There's comic book art and because it's really...
I'm convinced by your argument. Short, but I'm coming around to it.
Well, because it really, there's art, and then there's comic art. There's commercial art.
Well, art is political.
Well, but there's Marvel comic art, and then there's independent comic art.
Yes.
And then there's, like, installation art, and then there's different kinds of art, and, like, a lot of that is a reflection of what's
art. But what is art? Is art just because you hang it on the wall?
Yeah,
I feel like that was one of two ways.
Just because we found it in the garbage,
but I put it on the wall.
I have a barbecue art installation to install in my backyard. I feel like it could go one of two ways. Totally safe art. We're just going to make Captain America movies, you know, because then nobody's going to see those as political, even though they always have
been.
They've been from the beginning political, but. Or we're going to step up our game and give complexity to things that gives it maybe a little bit. I think those could go either way.
There's a medium thing where it's, we're going to have fun with fun characters where that's okay too.
Oh, sure.
Like there's a bunch of comics that there's no real political leaning in, but it's just like, this was just a great, super fun read. ILH for Hero.
Yes.
Super fun.
It's very good.
The 70s Dial H for Hero DC thing. They just kind of relaunched it, and it's a lot of like.
But even that has some.
I'm sure everything can be political.
There's levels.
If you look at it that
there's
way.
Levels.
There's political.
No, like, I mean, I think what's happened is that things get politicized. If you have a woman with a flat chest, that's a political body. you know what I mean? Like that's you're making a choice.
Short hair is political.
Like you're making a point by having her have short hair. Exactly. Right. Like these are the things where I'm like.
Reason.
So we're not mad about She-Ra? We're not mad about She-Ra? No, I'm kidding.
She-Ra was totally what'd she do with her hair? Political.
Did she do something with her hair?
It looks great.
Dry shampoo.
But especially like superheroes, I mean, it's the most basic thing in the world to say, but I mean, like, it all kind of stems with Superman in some regard, and it's like literally launched by like beating up domestic abusers and like busting up slumlords.
I love busting up slumlords.
And crooked politicians.
Written by immigrants.
Written by Jewish immigrants at that specific moment in time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That defeats any argument. It's like, no, they've always been.
They've always been. I know. It's like people saying Star Trek has gotten political these days. I'm like,
are you kidding?
Clearly.
Have you watched any of the first?
My friends.
In conclusion, gatekeeping historically as fans is how we answer all of this, right?
Try to open them gates. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't be a dick is a
good actually.
If you prefer things from the Silver Age, guess what?
You're never gonna run out of those.
You're never gonna run out. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how don't
and
be
if
a dick
hate
is a
things
basic.
From the Silver Age. That was a long time ago. You don't have to read it.
No, of course not.
And if you're okay with things from the Silver Age, that's okay too.
We've solved all culture's problems.
If you like Youngblood number one, just read it again and again.
I totally bought.
And don't talk to me.
Did you guys buy all those back in the day? I had the Day Glow. I'm sure I had all of them.
I didn't really jump over to Image so much when that was going on, but every like Chromium cover and Marvel.
I'm sure I was going to retire off of Youngblood.
It's Chrome.
Yum.
It's premium Chrome.
It's an element.
I don't know what happened to all my Cerebus.
Tony admitted that one.
Cerebus.
Chromium powers.
On a simple note, do you separate the art from the artist? Go.
No.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
What is that? Well, it's a cartoon because Stan Lee made every comic.
Exactly. And Mike Mignola.
Wait, how do we end the episode?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Or how do we find out the scrumptions up your head?
Oh, yeah, we have to figure out the scrumptions up your head for science.
Here insert a montage of Judith, Monica, Kyle, and Bri attempting to measure the circumference of Merc's head, using string, a ruler, hand spans, copies of Youngblood No. 1, and a metal tape measure.
So 22 inches?
About 23.
Okay.
And I said 60 centimeters, which is pretty close.
And I said 3 spans, which is right on.
Change the score.
Well, we both went up by 1, so...
I'm doing the math.
Oh, nice.
58.42.
Whoa!
Nice!
And now you know that.
Good night, everybody. Should we actually do like a wrap up thing? Are you guys?
Yeah, we should
do a wrap up. What's a wrap up?
So thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you for having us.
I don't know if you want to introduce and plug anything you've got. I don't know.
Do we want to plug a YouTube channel?
Okay, well, you can look at some old YouTube. We haven't put anything new up there in months.
Wait a second,
but look for fans.
Months.
Look for Fans versus Critics on YouTube, and also way back we had a mini series called Unboxing the Internet, in which we looked at the whole David Gabriel controversy.
I totally forgot about that video.
Yeah.
That one was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talked about some of these topics. So maybe we'll see you there, and hopefully. Superhero Culture Wars will come out.
Right on.
Maybe near. I think when that one comes out, we should have another follow up.
Absolutely.
Guys, we'll just flip through and read passages aloud.
An exciting.
We'll
thing.
Do a dramatic reading.
Totally love that.
Fantastic.
We did have a hilarious moment where we submitted the book proposal, and they're like, "This person should stop talking in the royal we about these comics." And it's like, we argue with that captain. Like, it is two of us.
I don't think they told the readers
they
that.
They did. It looked horrifically pretentious.
Yeah.
So.
I'm Kyle. That's it. I don't need to plug stuff. Go check out their stuff.
Fair.
And his stuff.
I'm going to plug stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca, Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram. Check out my website. I got books and things, and we're all at the Thunder Bay Country Market upstairs if you happen to be local. Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. I'm Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic, Welcome to Hereafter, at welcometohereafter.com. And if you flip a coin... Guess what? There's a chance that there was a new page. It's supposed to be weekly, and I'm failing at that half the time.
Oh.
What are you gonna do?
That's right.
You're still beating George R. R. Martin.
Flip a coin.
You're still beating George R. R. Martin.
No, that's true.
You are way more successful.
You know, I'd trade. Even with that ending, I'd trade.
No, you wouldn't. Sing us out, Judith.
Zero Issues Podcast!